meaning and the power of the birth of Jesus
as Savior of the world and as Redeemer. We're going to also next week, by the grace of God, study about the gifts that were given to Christ and what do they mean to us daily in our lives, and how our lives can be a gift to Jesus every day as we gift ourselves to others in every heavenly, spiritual, wise way. That is next week. Today we're going to be talking about why Jesus came, what does his birth really mean to us and all the human race, and we will also learn about the power of the name of Jesus in our lives. As I believed in my life once upon a time, one should not believe in Jesus if he cannot experience his promises in his and her life. If the words of Jesus does not work in our lives, why should we believe in him? And therefore, when we know the name of Jesus, and when we understand by the power of the Holy Spirit what he has done, what does it mean to us yesterday, today, and tomorrow? And when we understand his word and believe his promises, if we do not apply it in our life, we don't experience the power of his name, neither the power of his word, nor the power of his spirit. We don't. But when we do, we will see clear evidence every day about such a power of the birth of Jesus. So I'm going to expound a little bit and share, and we will learn something also about why does God allow affliction, and what are the glorious things that come out of affliction. We just sang Silent Night together in many different languages, at least 5 languages. And I just yesterday read that story of Joseph Moore, the one who really wrote the words, and his blessed brother and partner Gruber, Franz Gruber, who composed that music. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing. I just want to make it clear. Joseph Moore, I believe, was an insurance agent. He sold insurance for many years, but it was always on his heart to write a song. Okay, and it never come to pass until he became quite ill. And doctors could not treat him anymore, and he was just destined to die. During this time of sickness and during this time of great uncertainty, he said that he has been studying the Bible more than ever before. And he has been learning more about the saving grace of Jesus and the power of his birth. And he said he began to believe in his promises and he began to apply it in his life. You see, affliction come to bless us. We don't like it, do we?
No.
We never say, Lord, give me afflictions so I can have blessing. We always actually pray the opposite. But trust me, look at all the composers, look at all the most powerful hymns. They have stories behind them. And if God has gifted you with the gift of music, the devil is going to try to test you and try you. You can make the choice, like Joseph Moore and like many other people, to cling to the name of Jesus and to the promises of God and to try to apply it in time of distress. Something more glorious will come out of that for you that you never experienced before. And not just that. It will impact your life. It will impact the life of great many people in your life and after your death. Look at the Bible and who wrote the Bible. Mm-hmm. Look at all the hymns. 600 and something hymns in every hymnal. Sung in so many different languages throughout the world. There are stories behind those hymns. And he was studying the Bible intensely and his healing was miraculous.
Wow.
But during this time, he recognized the true purpose in life. It is unfortunate that we become so spoiled and we want to live our own life and do our own thing, like Jonah, running away from God's marvelous calling in our lives because we fear the loss of something. But circumstances come and God loves us to give us the freedom of choice. He gives us the freedom to make our own choices. And when we make heavenly, faithful, biblical decisions, God lead us through, and we experience the power speedily. When we make our own decisions, eventually we get stuck. Eventually we suffer some setbacks. But you know, even at that time, Jesus is still the Savior of the world. And if we connect, He will turn our sorrow miraculously into joy, like Joseph Moore, like Fanny Crosby, like Thomas Dorsey. All of these great hymnists, and they came out of great distress and affliction. So remember, if you are going through distress and trouble, God has greater plans for you. After his distress and affliction, he said, I knew now the greatest way to live. Because I was dying and God has given me a new lease on life, why don't I experience the joy and the power of his name and his word in my life so mightily? And it's during this time that he went to the parish and he sat down and wrote that song. And after he wrote that song, he took it to his own good buddy, Franz Gruber, who was a musician. And at that time, their organ in the church was broken down, so they couldn't use it. And here, Franz Gruber, he said, when he read the words of this song, he went back to his good brother and friend, Joseph Moore, and said, you got it perfectly right. It can only be the Holy Spirit who has given you those words.
Wow.
And Franz Gruber went straight and prayed and put it into music. And it was designed only to be sung because he always wanted to write a song for Christmas.
Wow.
That was his desire. So they can sing it in the parish, and it was their parish in Austria.
Hmm.
You know, I always believed that it was a German song, but it's Austrian song.
Okay.
And they sang it for the parish, and it said it became a folk song that people were singing it throughout the year, everywhere they go. And eventually, in the late 1800s, it found its way to Germany, and in the first German song hymnal, they placed that song in that hymnal, and they put it under an unknown author, because the Germans did not think much of the Austrian, and they did not want to put a name of an Austrian composer and an Austrian author in their own hymnal. Isn't that kind of sad? But today, praise God Almighty, I think also late 1800s, a gentleman by the name, the name escaped my mind, translated into English, and it was put in all the English hymnals. But now, throughout the world, whenever you sing that song, Silent Night, Holy Night, the name of Joseph Moore and Franz Gruber are there. Praise God Almighty. But you know something? They knew nothing about that. Isn't that amazing? They lived and they died. And they didn't know that the hymn the Holy Spirit has given them and the experience of Joseph Moore have produced such a powerful message of the gospel of peace that is carried throughout all generations. How are you using your gifts? Are you going through some extra trials and temptation and tribulations? It is true. The devil is after you to discourage you and to take you off course. But Jesus is Savior of the world from all suffering. And Romans chapter 6 becomes very handy. When the Apostle Paul, who was off track, completely off track, met Jesus and came back on track. He went through lots of suffering, but he said this, I rejoice in tribulations.
Wow.
Rejoice in tribulations? I don't know. I have been a pastor for many years. I don't know I have the strength to say that today. I rejoice when I am out of tribulations. But he said, I rejoice in tribulations, and you know he did. When he was shackled hand and feet and sitting down, and his back was bleeding because of 40 lashes, 39 lashes. His back was bleeding. Part of the skin was off. The Bible is saying that while he is in prison, him and Silas were singing and praying and praising God. God give mighty strength far beyond human endurance when our faith is completely affixed in Him. He said, I rejoice in tribulations, for tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience with God. And experience what? Hope. And hope make us not afraid, for the Holy Spirit dwelleth in us by the will of God. So the beginning of tribulation have an end. The end is hope and joy. We just don't like what happens in between, huh? Let us read those very words that were given to humanity through the angel of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You know, Joseph was considering marrying Mary. And as the tradition goes, he talked to her family and talked to everybody. And remember, there's a part of the story that is not in Matthew, but it is in Mark and in Luke, that prior to that, the angel appeared to Zechariah regarding John the Baptist and Elizabeth, the aunt of Mary. And eventually, Joseph came into the picture by the allowance of God, and he began to consider to really marry Mary, who was a virgin. And you know, he was engaged to be married, and suddenly she is pregnant. And you know, the pregnancy shows quickly. And of course, if you are Joseph and you love that woman and you think she's a precious person and you see that, you don't want to marry her, right? Someone else did something. And that's how he thought. And he decided that he is not going to make a big deal. At least I'm not married to her, so there is nothing for me to fear. And he decided, I am not going to put her to shame. I'll just protect her and then eventually loose myself away from her. He was very worried and concerned. And that is what the next verse is saying. She was found pregnant of the Holy Spirit. That is the major difference of the birth of Jesus from all humanity. And there's a reason why he came to be born by his Spirit. Remember what David said in Psalms 51? When he said, blot out my transgression, for I was shapen in sin, and in iniquity did my mother conceive me. All human birth is tainted by sin on earth. So the birth of Jesus was not touched by any sin. Okay. He was born by the Holy Spirit. There was no communion between a man and a woman. It was the holy birth of the Spirit, completely holy. And that will reflect later what it means to us by the words of Jesus in John chapter 3. Unless a man is born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The birth of Jesus of the Holy Spirit has given us the opportunity, even as mortal carnal sinners, with the propensity to sin, shapen in sin, to be born again of the Spirit of God. So remember, we cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we are born of the water and of the Spirit. The water is baptism. Baptism is the washing away of the old man of sin. And then we are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I will get to that later. But we need to understand why Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. And not of communion between a man and a woman. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a very kind man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He must have been a very, very kind and compassionate, understanding man.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think God would have picked the right man for Mary?
He did.
Yeah.
He surely did.
And for raising his son.
Absolutely. And biblically, according to prophecy, he was supposed to come. Actually, if you read the rest of the chapter, from verse 1 all the way down, it goes to the begets. Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of Jacob, the son of Joseph.
Right.
Okay? So it was according to the lineage, the biblical genealogy and the lineage of prophecy. You know, I just read on the news 2 days ago, the Egyptian news, that a princess, a Saudi Arabian princess in England, is asking for asylum because she fell in love with an English man and she became pregnant. If she goes back home,
they'll kill her.
They will kill her. In the middle of the square, they will all be stoning her as they did to another princess in 1979 in public until she dies. So she asked the British High Court to give her asylum and to stay with her husband to raise her child. And the court decided to make the matter very quietly and granted her asylum, because they know if she goes back, she's going to be killed. She's a princess.
But she's married, right? She married her English man.
I assume, I didn't go, that the story did not say anything. At least she is with this English man, and they granted her asylum in England. You see, the world at that time was very much the same. Joseph lived during this time where if a woman found this way, remember the woman that was caught in adultery?
Yeah.
No, not even children. There was no child. They wanted all to stone her to death. But here, even though Joseph is going against all of these odds, he was granted and endowed with the blessed love of God in his heart. And he thought, given the circumstances, he did not inquire how it happened. He did not say anything. He decided he's going to put her away privately and he will protect her reputation. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph was a prayer warrior. Obviously, listen to this, God intervened to elect him to be the father of Jesus, the Son of God. God intervened in her life and led him to go and get engaged to Mary through Elizabeth and through Zechariah and through John the Baptist. All of these events was the intervention of heaven in his life as it is in our lives today. And when Joseph discovered this horrible situation, he entered into prayer and he determined he is not going to harm her in any way. And in a dream, he was interrupted. God interrupts our lives in dreams and through many other events to communicate to us about his purpose for what is going on in our lives if we are praying like Joseph. So he was interrupted by an angel in a dream. And God works the same today. And in the dream, the angel said, Joseph, you're a good man. God did elect you. Mary will eventually be your own spouse, wife. Don't be afraid of what you are seeing, because yes, things happen so quickly, because the one that is in her and that baby that is in her is born of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
You know, how can a man believe something like that? That's a tough one. But he had faith enough. And most probably, he went to commune with Mary to talk with her. And most probably, she told him that. Because remember, the angel appeared to her first. And he told her to keep it quiet. And now he's appearing to Joseph to give him the message that that which is born in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, I often try to remind parents or those who are expecting a child to pray so earnestly that God gives them the name. You know, parents always try to search for a wonderful fancy name to give to your to their children, you know, and some of them go out and buy books that have hundreds of names. And I have several people who called me and said, do you have any other suggestions of different names that we consider? And I always say, you know, you need to pray because God wants to give a child a name that will impact his and her life for many years to come. A name that has a meaning. My blessed mother, when she was pregnant with me, she was not planning on pregnancy. As a matter of fact, she was taking birth control. And then she found herself pregnant. And she told me, and I heard that story since I was a child, from my mom and my grandma and everybody in the family. She told me that I went to the doctor, and the doctor said the child is going to have lots of defects. And you better abort him.
Oh, no.
And my father was a strong believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no, it is God gives, God takes away. Let the name of the Lord be praised. If he came out dead, that is God's will. But if God allowed him against all of these circumstances of prevention, keep him in. And you know, when she was pregnant and ready to deliver, she felt the push on the seventh month. I'm a preemie. During that week, a gentleman, a farmer, came from Upper Egypt, from Southern Egypt. He came to find a job. And he knew my father and his family. And he came to seek him. And he didn't have a place to stay. Remember, we had only one bedroom. Eight children and mom and dad and one little kitchen, and the bathroom outside is shared by three other neighbors.
Oh,
and he needed a place to stay. And my father decided to take some of the covers and place just a little bed for him in our tiny kitchen. And the man slept there, and when he woke up in the morning while they were having breakfast, he told my mom and dad, I had a dream that you, what is in your stomach is a boy, and his name will be Ibrahim. And you know, my father said, that is a great name. We're going to call him Ibrahim. And eventually I came forth, and I was a little tiny thing, about 2 pounds.
No.
And they had to wrap me in cotton and put me in a shoebox.
Wow.
And the doctor said, I told you that there is no hope for that child. My mom and dad are prayer warriors. They prayed every day and night and asked the Lord to bless, and my mom kept on feeding me, and I am here today. But I want to let you know, throughout my life, the reason I'm telling this story, I did not like my name. I did not like the name of Ibrahim at all, or Abraham. Why? I don't know. Because many other Ibrahims around, and Islam have Ibrahim, and everyone have Ibrahim, and I didn't like their character until I went to school and I began to learn about Abraham in the Bible. And I still did not like everything he has gone through, neither did I want to become like him. So really, it is not till later in my adolescence when I began to relate to Abraham, after I have gone through some serious life experiences that almost claimed my life on two occasions. I began to read the Bible for me, not for my Bible teacher, not for the church, and not for others. I began to read it for me, and I began to see the magnitude of God's power resting upon his children when they go through some extra distresses in life. And at that time in the academy, before my graduation, I even read about Abraham Lincoln. And I began to like my name and yet become very scared. That everyone who had the name of Abraham went through some difficult times. But at that time, the name that God has given me meant something different than when I was a child and immature. Names are very important. Names make and break people. You know, a Christian family named their daughter Isabel, because it sounded Spanish and it sounded beautiful. Jezebel. And then the young lady went to Sabbath school. And the teacher was talking about the story of the wicked Jezebel.
Oh no.
And how she declared the death of great many prophets.
Oh, no.
And you should have looked upon this young lady. I said, she goes, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. And she was crying. And the teacher recognized the problem. Went, oh, no, no, it's not you. It's another Jezebel. And you know, since that day, she goes home and she told mom and dad, I hate that name. I don't want that name. And they tried to tell her over and over, it's just a name. It's very important that people pray before they give names to their children. And when you pray, the Holy Spirit will guide you as he guided Joseph. And by the way, Joseph is not the only one who was given the name of a child. Read the Bible. Several of the people in the Old Testament were given the same thing. But again, for parents who didn't know that, will God hold them responsible? No. We're all make some decisions we believe to be the best decisions ever. Okay? So it is not a real problem, because really, salvation is individual. Every child, whatever his or her name is, will be given the opportunity for salvation, and they still have to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So don't feel that you made a major mistake. Okay? No, but I'm saying today, and I encourage all young couples that they pray before they get married, and secondly, they pray earnestly when they are considering to have children. So his name shall be Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Yes.
Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God is with us. You see, Jesus means Savior. Emmanuel means God is with us. And if you look at the beginning of the mission of Jesus, in the beginning of his mission, he showed the power of his saving grace. And we will discover at the end of his mission, before he ascended to heaven, he declared the meaning of Emmanuel when he said, and I shall be with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So his saving grace will abide with us and within us all the days of our life on earth, and he will never leave us nor forsake us, he said, because his name is also Emmanuel. Now, yesterday in Bible study, we talked about the issue of salvation. Many people believe that the wicked are not saved daily. Well, do you know of anyone who is righteous? Are you? I'm trying, but I'm not there. Every day, even the wicked who do not know God are saved from their own choices and decisions. How many times a person uses drugs and go to sleep and still wake up in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Or alcohol. Or some of those kind of happy drugs. Okay? How many times people who have addiction to too many things into this earth, too many addictions. They are still living today, even though they do not proclaim the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because Jesus was born in the flesh, and because Jesus was tempted in the flesh, and because Jesus never sinned in the flesh, and because Jesus suffered in the flesh for every sin and sinner, and because Jesus paid the price of sin in his flesh even unto death, he has done all of this that he may have preeminence and lordship over all lives on earth. And it is him alone who makes the final decision. So daily he is saving the righteous and the wicked alike. And the Bible is saying he let his sun to shine upon the just and the unjust.
Yes.
He provides sight and hearing and food and raiment and shelter to believers and non-believers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son Jesus. But here is the key. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. When we talk about daily salvation is one thing, and we talk about eternal salvation is another thing. God saves even the wicked from their sins and self and from the suffering of death every day. And he is long-suffering and merciful and gracious and all compassion, that none should perish, but that shall all come to repentance and eternal life. The major difference is whosoever believeth in him. Salvation is one thing and deliverance is another thing. God save us daily from the severe consequences of our choices because he is love. But as to deliverance, we must make the choice. If someone is a drug addict, alcoholic, shopaholic, whatever the addiction may be. Okay? Whatever the addiction, the loss of addiction. That individual will not be delivered from the bondage of that addiction unless he calls upon the name of the Lord.
Yes. Very true.
So when we are praying for ourselves, our families, and others, God intervenes as he intervened in the life of Joseph. God interrupts the life of those whom we are praying for to deliver them and show them the consequences of their choices and then offer them the way of escape. They have to choose, I want to be made whole. So let us go to read that story quickly. How did Jesus came to save, to forgive, and to make us whole? And what is the process in that? Let us go to Mark chapter 2 quickly. Mark chapter 2. And read the story that perhaps we have read and heard before. To see the process of transformation. Because Jesus intervened, Jesus interrupts, Jesus came to save and to deliver, and Jesus came to transform and change our heart and mind and character, just as he did with Joseph Moore. And all of these wonderful people, and the Apostle Paul, and Peter. He's still working in the same like manner today if we invite him in to be our Savior, Redeemer, Physician and Healer, and Christ Emmanuel. In chapter 2 verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum. After some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. Jesus came in the house. And he began to teach and preach the living words of God. And tell you. People love to hear him. And straightway many were gathered together. In so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Imagine the house all packed. Floor is taken, chairs are taken, standing, windows, people are looking through the windows. The door is packed, there is no place to walk in. That is how much his words were answers to human suffering and human distresses. People love to hear Jesus teach and preach. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. Wow. So here is someone was quite paralyzed and sick. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broke it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Imagine if you were the owner of that house. And some strangers came and climbed on the top of the roof and disassembled it right in front of you. How will you feel as an owner? And what would you think of Jesus at this time? This man came into my house and here is my house is falling apart. But there was something happening in the life of this man that you and I do not know, and maybe we will know the details later. Obviously, something happened that this man had become paralyzed. And you know, I see that in the hospital a lot. People ride motorcycles or bikes or cars, or people use drugs of all kinds and end up having severe accidents or serious life circumstances. And you know, when I go there and I'm looking at the senses, they tell me exactly what happened, a gunshot to the head, to the wound, to the spine, or driving under the influence. So before I go in, I already know, have some information about what caused the crisis. And you know, once I introduce myself as Pastor Abraham, if a mother is there or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or some family members who know the life of the patient, they don't want to look into my eyes and they are very worried because now they feel they are confronting divine justice.
No.
They know what happened and what caused that and they are afraid of what they might hear. But the story of this man here tells us why Jesus was born by the Holy Spirit to become the Savior of the world from the conditions that we put ourselves in. He is still Savior. So they lowered that man, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, see, God intervened in the life of this man. Obviously, he was told that Jesus of Nazareth, who made the lame walk again, who made the blind see again, who delivered him that was possessed, is in town. Somehow, God intervened to communicate to this man and his family that Jesus is in town. And he had to interrupt all of their daily routine and schedule, so they can have the opportunity to make the decisions to go to him. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. Deliverance requires a decision of faith. Not just the knowledge of the gospel. And so they went and lowered the man right in front of Jesus. And Jesus, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Obviously, Jesus knew the cause of that sickness. And the cause of all sickness is what?
Sin.
Sin. Either our sins or the sins of somebody else against us. So the first thing Jesus did, he removed the virus out of the body. You see, when we are having nasal congestion and cold and coughs, all of these are the symptoms. When you go to the drugstore and you buy over-the-counter drugs, they deal with what? They deal with the symptoms.
Right.
They don't deal with the virus. They are just trying to trick your body to say, you know, you don't have it anymore, to give the opportunity for your own immune system to build up back itself so you can fight the virus and kick it out of your body. So Jesus here knew the root cause of his own distress. And the first thing he told him in front of everybody, "Your sins are forgiven thee, I will take the virus away." When you take the virus away, all the symptoms subsides. And that is what he did. He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in the heart, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye the things in your hearts? If the first one did not convince him that he is God incarnate, the second one should have, that he read their hearts." They didn't speak it loudly. And he looked at them and said, "Why are you reasoning the thoughts in your heart? Which is easier," he said, "whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk?" The Lord knew that they were confused by the enemy. The Lord knew that they were acting on their own limited doubts. Okay? Listen to this. Many Christians go through moments of doubt. And God, the Lord Jesus, still loved them. And he understood their condition. And he told him, "Okay, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up, pick up your bed and walk, for you to believe that I am the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world?" So, imagine if I was standing there and I'm the one who was doubting and saying in my heart the things, and then he looks at me with his own compassionate deep eyes and say, "Why are you thinking that way in your heart?" And then he asked me the second question, "What will make you believe? The words or the action?" Okay, I understand that you need to see a miracle. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house." Wow. And immediately he rose. That's faith.
Wow.
Faith in Jesus during time of interruption, whether it is mental, physical, spiritual, social, emotional, academic, financial, political upheaval, or legal distress. Those are interruption to permit us the opportunity to come to Jesus by faith, trusting him. And because this man trusted Jesus, he was saved first from what? From sin. And after the virus is gone, the suffering and the symptoms that we have experienced for many years began to disappear.
Wow.
And the man was saved and now in the process of transformation. He was in the process of transformation. He believed and he received. And he picked up his bed and walked, and immediately arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, in so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion before." So what did we learn today? I'm going to be closing. It's 12 o'clock. Continue next week. What did we learn today? "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bear a son, and ye shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Did you see how it worked in the life of this man?
Yes.
Is that how it worked in our lives as well?
Yes.
And it is still working today.
Yes.
It requires what?
Faith.
It requires the knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is God incarnate. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things above and of things below. And at the name of Jesus, all the demons tremble. And through the name of Jesus, and by the confession of our sins, we are forgiven for all of our sins daily, and we are saved from the curses and the destruction of sin that Satan tried to lay on us. And when we are saved, then after that, we are healed. We are healed. from the infirmities of sin. The symptoms began to subside. And once we are redeemed from this, our heart and mind and soul continue in the process of transformation and sanctification.
Amen.
We slowly become holy as He is holy, because the Holy Spirit is born in us by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "When I go, I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who shall guide you unto all truth and show you the way." It is the Holy Spirit that make us the children of God. It is the Holy Spirit that convict us of right and wrong, good and evil, sin and righteousness. It is the Holy Spirit that urges us to come to the Lord in prayer, because it is the Holy Spirit that groan and intercede on our behalf when we pray, for we never know exactly how to pray. And sometimes the things we pray for are not really good for us. But it is okay, because it is the Spirit of God who groan and intercede on our behalf, uttering things we cannot understand. And He that knoweth the heart knoweth the mind of the Spirit, for He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And after you have prayed and brought it to Jesus, like this man who had palsy, he said, after that, all the events unfolding, even if they are dreary, even if they are distressing, even if they are fearful, all things shall work together for good to those who love the Lord and those called according to His purpose, because His name is Emmanuel. God is with us, and if God be for us, no power can stand against us. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand together if you can. Our God, our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, our High Priest and Intercessor, Lord of our lives, our families, the church, and Lord and King of all nations, we thank You for the mighty power of the Holy Spirit that have convicted us and continue to convict us of sin, righteousness, of judgment, continue to groan and intercede in our behalf. Thank You, Lord, for becoming the Savior of the world. Thank You for saving us daily. May You forgive us all iniquities. May You heal us from all of the suffering and the symptoms and the diseases of sin, because of our sin and the sins of the world. And may You redeem us daily from all destruction known and unknown to us, and from the enemy, that he may not be able to harm us in any way or exploit our weakness to hurt us or hurt our families or hurt anybody else, for You are alone Lord over our lives. Continue to change and transform our heart and mind and character. Our love, our will, our life, our purpose, to make us wholly Thine, safe and secure from all alarm. May You be with us forever and ever, and may Your Spirit turn our scars into stars and our weaknesses into mighty strength, that we may become Your heart, Your mind, Your hand, to use every gift of life You've given us. Like Joseph Moore, and like Fanny Crosby, Thomas Dorsey, and Spafford, and all of those who have used their gifts to touch the hearts of humanity in our lifetime and thereafter, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.